This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Since I'm ugly, gotta listen to the podcast. Get advice to get me laid at long last. Finally, I might not be an outcast. Sees a little cheese, or else my boys don't put me on blast. Swipe on Tinder just to try to get a preview. With Jake's advice, I'll get to show him my cashew. Everything I know, I learned from these two Jews. Day one fan, that means I've listened since the debut. Realize I don't wanna be a virgin. Lonely and horny, master my perversion. Golden Mike seems like Jake is only worthy. How come everybody wanna give Amir the turdy? Jake and Amir, Jake and Amir, Jake and Amir now. Jake and Amir, Jake and Amir, Jake and Amir now. Jake and Amir, Jake and Amir, Jake and Amir now. I can't tell if he's a human or a chipmunk.
All right, with the Red Hot Chili Peps.
Red Hot Chili Peppers were so famous in the 90s. What happened there?
They've only gotten more famous in the late 20-teens.
You rarely hear about Flea.
Is he still playing in the celebrity basketball game on MTV?
Is Anthony Kiedis still rocking a long hair at Rock and Jock softball?
Anthony Kiedis. Wow, he doesn't even come up when I type Anthony Space on Google.
Yeah, that's not a good look. What about Anthony Space K?
Yeah, number one. Don't worry about that.
Okay. You think he has an Instagram?
Let's see. Anthony Kiedis Instagram.
Or is it just like a fan gram?
I can't tell if this is him or not. I don't think it's him.
Yeah.
It really better not be him.
Because it's a lot of low-res images of the Chili Pepper on tour in Denmark in 1989.
Yeah, it only has 300 followers. I don't think it's him.
I remember when I visited Israel as a kid, like, my cousins loved the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They were, like, the coolest. They were basically like U2 after U2. But then what happened in the last 20 years? I guess you could say that about any musician.
Yeah, I think there's still... Well, Anthony Kiedis looks like he has a bowl cut and a mustache now.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I think makes him kind of cool.
I guess I still sometimes see them at Laker games.
Their music still definitely gets played.
Yeah, but are they still making music?
It looks like they're still on tour from this post of Flea in Egypt. That was March 12th.
2012. Wait, he was doing a show in Egypt?
Well, I don't understand why else he would be on tour with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. He's at a show right now.
Wow.
He's got 600,000 followers. I think they're doing great. I think they're touring, man.
That's awesome. It turns out I have the problem.
You do.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers are fine.
They're the goats.
I never liked them that much, I gotta tell you. I just gotta be honest with you.
I don't, yeah, no, same. I also never really liked them. But I mean, Under the Bridge is still a great song.
Yeah. That song like came out 30 years ago.
That's crazy. But see, like, that song doesn't really seem like a Red Hot Chili Pepper song, does it?
Yeah, so we won't give that to them. What's another good song of theirs? Californication. That was more Rolling Stones than them.
Yeah, I don't think they have a song, because that, like,
Every song that is bad is theirs, and every song that's good belongs to another band.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What's another Red Hot Chili Peppers song? Oh,
Scott Tissue That I Wish You
Saw. Oh, yeah.
Saw.
That's theirs. That's definitely theirs.
That one's theirs, right?
Sarcastic Mr. Know-It. Oh, he does sound like the Game Boy. This guy's right.
Yeah, he does. That's right.
Jamie Ashworth wrote that. He has no musical background, but still wanted to contribute. Pretty good for no musical background.
Honestly, no musical background. I don't think the Red Hot Chili Peppers had one either.
Kiedis was a soccer player who just found a microphone one day, and Flea was his mailman. And he's like, I can probably jam out on bass if necessary. This guy says he has no shout-outs, but except for the two nerds that helped him make this, Jacob and Ryan. Only one of them who hasn't landed an intro theme song yet, so I really need this. Also, you can tell my girlfriend Emily good luck in law school this year. Sounds like he's breaking up with her.
Good luck in law school.
Good luck in law school, Emily.
Flea should have gone to law school.
Actually, Flea is a very outspoken Laker fan on Twitter, and I have to say I agree with a lot of his takes.
Really?
Yeah, he's a smart basketball
That's
fan.
That's really interesting. Maybe we could get him on Buckets.
That'd be cool. Hey, Flea.
By the way, I'm gonna start hosting Buckets with you.
What?
Yeah. I'm gonna be the co-host of Buckets. That's pretty cool.
Who decided that?
Upgrade.
Not upgrade.
It's an upgrade for your pod.
You don't know enough about basketball. I'd have to catch you up every episode. It would slow us down.
I don't need to know a lot about basketball.
Yes, you do.
Like Buckets isn't really about basketball. Buckets is...
Have you ever listened to it?
Yeah, I listen to a bunch of Buckets. It's mostly like...
about Buckets.
How many three-pointers could be scored
in a quarter in
1987?
Like, that's all basketball. Just, and the fact that you're saying that sarcastically
adjacent.
Means you're not a good co-host.
Like, it's basketball adjacent, but it's mostly just weird mathematical hypotheticals. I think I could really help steer it in a better direction. And I don't mean to nitpick
hypotheticals.
And critique.
Yes, you do. By the way, I never talked about how many threes somebody can hit in a quarter in 1987. So you made that up, and then you have
do,
a
like,
note about it.
Shit like that. Like, who's the tallest basketball player and the shortest basketball player?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, we did an episode about the best player at every height, but we don't do, quote, random shit like that.
Has anyone ever done a game where they only scored one free throw or some shit?
don't say done a game. Like, just saying done a game means you don't know enough about basketball. You don't say,
don't
has anybody
like,
done a game where...
It's not interesting takes. It's
to you.
More, it's hypotheticals of,
yeah,
like,
I know what you
this
think.
Be crazy if?
No, that's not true. You're sort of veering in and out of what it actually is. So, like, yeah, sometimes we do talk about stuff that happened in the past, but then when you say, like, it veers off into hypothetical takes, that's not true. You're, like, sort of clumping it all together in order to make an argument, and I don't appreciate it.
I'm not, I know, I'm saying it's a great show. Why else would I want to be the co-host? I just think I can take it what you're doing with the show now is nonsensical.
No, it's
and
not.
And I'm saying
it's sensical.
What I could do, what I could bring to the table, if you're willing to let me co-own the IP.
Obviously not that. To what? You wanna start licensing it as a television show that you own?
Yeah, I think, I mean, not right away, but I think if you let me in there, if I get to...
I don't trust your expertise.
Put my stamp on the thing, I think I can really, I can make this show saleable in the secondary marketplace.
Like where? Where can you possibly want to make this saleable?
Twitch, bitch.
You want to package it and sell it
Hulu,
to some sort of...
Yoo-hoo, Hulu, okay?
What?
There's a lot of... There's a lot of different marketplaces where this show really works, and podcasting ain't one of them.
Yeah. You went to Alaska and came back as like a development executive. This is such an insane term for you.
I got Wi-Fi in Denali.
And then what?
And LTE in the Kenai Peninsula. That's what.
And now you buy and sell content to Quibi?
Yeah, I think I could make a Quibi of your shitty-ass podcast if you
crazy.
Let me own the IP.
You went to Alaska. It's naturally beautiful. And you came back And now you're packaging content. You're a greedy, bloodthirsty, money hungry.
I was using a signal booster on a glacier, and I saw the landscape, not the actual Alaskan landscape, but the entertainment landscape.
Yeah.
The line between podcast and YouTube series is blurring.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God. Do you want to create any content, or are you just looking to package, sell, distribute?
I think if I can own the IP, I don't need
I know
to
what you think.
Create
yeah.
anything. I think I can wedge myself in as an owner.
Got it. Okay. So I'll give you buckets, but you give me not another D&D podcast.
I am not the sole owner of that intellectual property. I can't do that.
I heard they kicked you off the podcast, right?
Well, yeah, I'm not on the show anymore.
Yeah, because you kept trying to, quote, own the IP and sell it.
I was going to take a piece of Caldwell's actual physical brain so I could get the IP.
Yeah. Holy shit. You're a supervillain who's trying to monetize other people's work.
I steal people's brains, and then I go to executives, and I say that I own the intellectual property.
All right, well, let's worry about this intellectual property, a show that you, I guess, do own half of.
Damn right.
It's If I Were You, the only podcast, advice podcast on the internet, hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I am Jake.
And what we do here, answer questions, try to steer people who are lost, confused, sort of meandering their way pointlessly through life. And then we say, you know what? This is how we should do it. We're experts at this mm-hmm. point. I'm 36. You're 34. Actually, I just pulled up our email. This one wasn't planned, but it seems like something that is right up your alley. We usually just sort of force ourselves to be wise, but it looks like you might actually have some wisdom for this guy who's 23-year-old student looking to rent a place in New York City.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I can help.
Okay, so what do you want to call this 23-year-old New Yorker?
23. Let's call him Early Jake.
Okay, Early Jake.
It'll be like I'm giving advice to my past self.
That's right. This is a 23-year-old student. I'm a 23-year-old student heading into his third semester at a theater school in Manhattan. A few friends and I are planning on getting a 3-bedroom together, and we've been looking around for months, but every landlord is requiring near-perfect credit score, and my friends don't have a credit since their parents are paying their loans and mine is in the trash, 540, because of loans. I know you dropped out of college, Jake, but I'm sure Amir can understand some level, since he was the first rodent to be enrolled at a university in the U.S. We have guarantors, but these landlords don't seem to care. How do I get a decent place to live when I don't have time to dismantle this classist system? Thanks a lot, Jews. The boy who doesn't want to be homeless. Early Jake.
No, I disagree with the premise. A guarantor you can get an apartment with a guarantor.
Yeah, it's like the amount of hoops that New York landlords make you jump through is so silly. I remember the whole, I think that doesn't really exist anywhere else, this idea of a guarantor, where you have to have somebody who will vouch to pay like 90 times rent. Is that do you remember that multiplier? Is that correct?
I don't think it's 90 times rent.
It's some like insane amount that's like, you have to prove that this guy will pay your entire lease if you should default.
Right. So it's like you need to make 30x. The rent or something like that.
Yeah, something right? Something that's already too much.
Like something. Yeah, nobody. It's very rare that people. It's rare that you're like making so much money, and you're able to pay
right.
that rent when you're a student. Absolutely, you're like barely making rent every month.
Yeah, they want it's like a $3,000 a month 2-bedroom, and they're like, you have to prove that you make $95,000 a year. It's like, okay, I don't make $95,000. All right, can you get a parent or a rich person to vouch that they'll pay your rent, but they have to make $280,000 a year?
Yeah,
and you're like, why do you have to have such a guarantor? Like, just know that I have enough money to make rent. That should be enough.
But I think it's because it's really hard to evict people. Once they're like in an apartment,
right?
Maybe they have like 30 days or something. But you have 30 days. Then you have to put the apartment back on the market. You have to pay a broker. So like the landlord gets fucked if you just like stop paying your rent.
Have you ever heard of a guarantor actually having to pay the rent once a guy like leaves? I've never heard of a guarantor needing to actually.
No, but I mean, it is like it's a legal document. That person is on the hook.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that that like if somebody is willing to be like, I'll pay the entirety of their lease, they'll probably also help you out month to month if you really, really need it.
So yeah, I'd rather give you $1,500 than to pay this landlord $93,000.
Right.
Who was your guarantor?
My daddy was my guarantor. I remember when the first time I didn't need a guarantor anymore.
Wow. How did you not need a guarantor anymore?
Because then I finally had enough money.
To be like, I will pay it if I can't pay it.
Yeah.
If I default, then I can have it. I'll pay it.
Look at my W-2, bitch. Look at that.
Although, like, you've also heard of, like, schemes and dreams from some shady friends of yours that, like, just lie about the guarantor, right? Like, anybody can sign a document.
When you say schemes and dreams from shady friends of mine, there's no way that you're not talking about Jeff, right?
Oh, am I? I guess, I mean, when you bring him up, yeah, that's true. Can't you see him sort of forging a document about not only his credit score, but his guarantor?
Oh, can't I? I actually did see him doing that.
I don't have to imagine it, because half of Alaska, the trip that I took with him, was him lying, forging a guarantor.
Yeah, no, you can definitely Photoshop those documents. I mean, not a W-2 necessarily, but like a letter of employment, that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
A bank statement, you can definitely fake a bank statement, print it out, and give it to somebody.
I feel like it's harder to rent in New York than to buy a place in 48 states.
Yeah, I would say that's definitely possible.
Credit score. I mean, who the hell knows their credit score before you like have to do something as epic as buy a house? Like, I didn't know what my credit score was at age 21.
I mean, I definitely did not either. But I think it matters like where you're looking. You know, if he's looking in the West Village or something, like where it's a super competitive market and people are just generally really rich and buying nice places, you can definitely get beat out by a bunch of people. Because if you're like, I would imagine it's less about the money and more about like three 23-year-old dudes who are trying to live in a two-bedroom versus one 35-year-old woman or something. Like a landlord would rather have somebody that's going to have a lighter footprint and also like somebody that doesn't need a guarantor that just seems like a really strong applicant.
Holy shit, you're taking the landlord's side. Look at you. You turned 34, and all of a sudden you're talking about 23-year-olds like they're little vermin that you're trying to phase out by getting their credit score.
I'm a landlord these days. You know this.
Yeah. And if somebody wants to rent your place out here, what are you telling them? You want to see the credit score?
Well, I have there's a management company that does all that for me, but I do see like
the applicants.
If somebody is like, oh yeah, they have two kids. I'm like, oh, I don't want four people fucking up my house. I like it when there's only one person in there.
That's right.
So like if I had a choice of like, these are the three applicants. There's a 30-year-old bachelor, or a family of four, or two college dudes who want to rent your house. I'd be like, I want the bachelor.
Interesting.
Obviously.
You can't actually discriminate based on quantity.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that fucking real, man?
No, I don't know. I think I was just kind of being silly. Like, it's like,
well, if you're fucking serious, then they're going to throw the book at me, man. I'm on record.
Yeah, I don't think that's actually.
I'm on freaking record right now. This is public record.
As long as it's probably like not like ethnic based or race based, anything like that, age, you can probably discriminate based on the amount.
It's all number based, I swear to God, man. This is public fucking record.
All right, relax, man. Jesus Christ. How much IP are you sitting on that you're afraid of getting sued right now, by the way? Have you been
buying
things?
I have a lot of IP.
Yeah.
General cleanliness?
Yeah.
To buckets. That's all me.
That's so little amount. That's
everything
such a small
your
amount
mind
of IP.
Touches.
You're sitting on a wad of old napkins from bars with pen-drawn scrawlings of quote-unquote IP.
You saw my dad rocking the general cleanliness shirt in that Instagram photo I posted, right?
Yeah. How much did he charge you for that?
So my dad's an influencer.
I had to pay him
$10,000
for that post, and it wouldn't even live in his feed. It's mine.
That's not going to move the needle.
But I think it's all just reinvesting in this IP, so that's a write-off.
So you're sort of a development exec and also like an agent to influencers, and the only client you have is your dad.
Yeah.
By the way, he's not an influencer.
I was going to start buying defunct businesses. Have you ever heard about this?
No.
You can buy a business.
Because it's going out of business.
Yeah, I could just buy like a defunct business or like a business that's about to go out of business.
Yeah, like a Radio Shack or something.
Yeah. And then I own assets.
Yeah. What are you going to do with an old electronics store? What do you want
that
for? I
saw a rye bread factory going out of business when I was in Anchorage.
And I was in Rye.
That could be mine.
So what?
That's my rye pee.
You have intellectual property about rye? You think you own the kind of bread?
Yeah. Actually.
Moron.
All right, so my advice to this guy is to maybe look in a less competitive neighborhood. I don't know where you're looking, but I guarantor is that's enough. That's a landlord will let you do that. And you gotta do everything you can, like write a letter to the owner, the landlord, about why you want the place. That also helps.
Yeah.
I remember when I was moving into that giant shrub with Dave Rosenberg and Amanda, we really wanted it and it was a competitive place. And I think we got the edge because we all wrote a very, very nice, persuasive letter.
Yeah, and aren't there like situations of like guarantors paying an entire like year's worth of rent, and then the renter pays the guarantor back? If you have a guarantor that really trusts you, maybe you can do that.
But I mean, even guarantor, like somebody that's making $200,000 a month or $200,000 a year, they're a good guarantor, but they can't necessarily pay like
pony up the $12,000,
tens of thousands of dollars up front.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Well, if you want to be my guarantor, you got to pony up the cash, mother.
Mother.
And let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll answer some more questions after this. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes. Yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah. I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog. And it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite? Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. Like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Wow. Very exciting.
Jake, did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they just completely forgot about?
I did know that, but only because we've done one of these ads before, and I was floored when I found out.
Yeah, streaming content, you download an app to learn a thing, and then 13 months later, you're paying $6.95 for a flexibility course that you haven't taken since 2022. Mm-hmm.
You're stiff as a board. I mean, my God.
That's going to happen. Well, thank you, because Rocket Money is a personal finance app
That
finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower those bills so you can grow your savings.
Beautiful.
Rocket Money sort of scours your bill. They say, get rid of this, this, that, and the other, and then you can suddenly find yourself with some extra cash in your pocket.
Exactly right.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Holy smokes.
Really good.
An average of $740 a year when you use the app's robust features. You found some stuff on Rocket Money that you canceled, right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you don't have to name names, of course, but like what you saved, I thought you said close to $1,500, $1,600 a month.
That's, hey, easy does it.
A lot of gray area, quasi-legal,
dangerous
subscriptions that Rocket Money found.
That wasn't me.
And canceled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually now I want them back.
I'm scared without them. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments. That's rocketmoney.com/segments, rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Rocket Money. And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
On to listen to the fight.
Mom, I'm coming.
Gross. Yeah. I don't know.
Do you recommend Alaska?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would recommend Alaska. 10 out of 10. Great state. I believe August is usually the rainy month, but thanks to whatever is happening in the world, it was warm as hell. So, and it was sunny, and also half the state was on fire. So
what?
there was a bunch of forest fires in Alaska while we were there.
Oh, I always assumed it's like always 48 degrees, like, and chilly and rainy.
It was like a little chilly. The highest it got was like, but I mean, it was 68 degrees a couple days. It was like pretty warm.
That's enough for a forest fire?
I think maybe it was hotter earlier in the summer, but they didn't get any rain, so it's dry. Fierce winds blow. They knock down a power line.
Jesus.
Sparks fly. All next thing you know, 5 million acres of forest is on fire, baby.
That has nothing to do with you, you're saying? Because it was fine before you three hooligans got there.
Yeah, so, well, Jeff had a spliff when we were in Talpetna.
And he's like, how far do you think I can flick it?
No, it was great. It's absolutely stunning, and it's so big. It's so vast.
Is it bigger than Texas?
Yes, I believe it's bigger than Texas. I believe it's twice the size of Texas, or Jesus. Maybe it's roughly the size of Texas. One of those.
Jesus.
Two.
Oh yeah, you can fit Texas into Alaska two times. It's 1/5 of the size of the lower 48 states.
Yeah, like it's truly baffling. Why do we own it? Map. It also doesn't make any sense. Just like placed where it is, it's like above the full continent of Canada.
Yeah, like, it's basically Canada. We basically sliced off the left fifth of Canada and was like, this is America too now.
I flew to Minneapolis from New York. My flight from Minneapolis to Anchorage was another 5 hours. Basically,
it's like Europe. You're New closer York to Island. Iceland than to Alaska.
Yeah, absolutely. So the reason we own Alaska is because we bought Alaska from Russia, who previously owned Alaska for seven.
They also shouldn't own it.
Well, Alaska at least like sort of touches Russia. Like if you look at a world map, it like follows.
Oh yeah.
There's like the Bering Strait or whatever it is.
That's right.
And yeah, we bought it for $7 million. And
wow.
The guy who did it, was named Seward. I think he was the Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense or some kind of government job.
He was high, right? He like sort of did it on a whim.
He was absolutely baked.
Yeah. And he's like, I'll take the Alaska chunk off your hands for $7 million cash.
In a fugue state, he bought a state. He bought a fugue state.
And it's now he bought it for the price of a 3-bedroom townhouse in the Lower East Side.
The funny thing is, this is all something I read on Wikipedia when I was in, when we're looking at, we were like kind of curious about the same stuff. But they called it Seward's Folly because everybody thought it was a mistake to buy Alaska. Everyone thought that America got a bad deal. And then like a few years later, they just discovered all of the gold and oil in Alaska. And it's like,
so then he's like, oh, who's the folly now? Like, yeah, but you didn't know there was oil. Whatever.
You had no idea there was fucking oil, Seward.
Yeah, but I did it anyway. And now you guys can suck my dick. Actually, I'm going to buy fucking Greenland now. No, because you might not get lucky with the oil thing again. Whatever, I quit.
So now it's not that crazy that Trump wants to buy Greenland.
He basically bought a shitty painting for $10 million, and then they found a really expensive document behind the canvas. And he was basically, like, I knew it would pan out. It's like, no, you
told
didn't.
You.
You just got lucky, Seward.
But yeah, it's gorgeous. We started in this town like outside of Anchorage called Girdwood. It's just like on the water, nice and pretty. But then we drove from there to Denali, and Denali National Park is crazy. You know what you don't know about Denali? It's the tallest peak in North America that we know.
Well, is that where Mount McKinley is?
Yes, but it has been changed to what the natives called the mountain, Denali.
Oh.
It was always Denali. We changed it to Mount McKinley, and now it's been returned to its rightful ancient name of Denali.
Interesting. Who did that? I didn't know that. I wouldn't have approved that.
I guess the government made good. Seward's second folly, if you will.
It was actually it was a Yukon Denali product placement.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then the other peak is the Toyota Sienna Ridge.
Yeah, I see it now. It's the hashtag Yukon Denali tent. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's people giving out Red Bulls at the top. This is cool.
Those aren't tents. That's a Nissan Cube. Because you can see that the tent is a square.
Yeah, that's really cool, actually.
Yeah, so it's all car-related shit.
Can you drive to the top, or like that's like Mount Everest, you can't ever get there?
You cannot get there. It's like a it's like a 14-day hike or something. You have to acclimatize.
Oh, wow.
Half the people that try to summit don't, or 60% of the people that try to summit don't, because the weather is so insane up there.
Wow, so it is like a little Everest.
But this is the interesting thing about it. So it's not as tall as Everest, but if you look at, if you just like slice off just the mountain part, like the floor to the mountain, it is 8,000 feet taller than Everest. But Everest is part of like the Himalaya range, so it's already so high above sea level that it's...
Oh, so just the mountain itself is bigger than Everest, but like Everest happens to be plopped on like this huge head start that pushes it higher up.
It's cheating, basically.
Everest is cheating, and Denali, which I'm going to still call Mount McKinley. I'm sorry, but that's how I want to call it.
You absolutely should be.
Mount McKinley, named after our president.
You're so fucked up.
Yeah, named after our 25th president, actually, William McFrickin' Kinley, and I'm not going to apologize for that.
You said sorry, but that's what I'm going to call it. So you did apologize.
Named after the great William McKinley, actually.
And we'll call it the great Mount McKinley because he's making the mountain great again.
He looks down on Everest. He looks down on Machu Picchu, which I'm actually calling Teddy Roosevelt Island.
So that's Everest, or sorry, that's Denali. Jesus, you almost had me say Mount McKinley. But we did some cool shit up there. We took like a flight seeing tour because you can't just like walk to McKinley, and it's all so often shrouded in clouds. So we like literally flew over it, which was crazy.
Jesus.
Like you're flying above all these ginormous mountains, and then you break through the clouds, you go above the clouds, and then you see like basically twice the size of all the huge mountains you were already flying over is Denali. It's nuts.
That's cool. Did you go to Moose's Tooth? I'm just looking at a map right now, and there's a smaller mountain called Moose's Tooth.
I don't think we did.
That's cool. How did Mike break his wrist?
Oh, yeah. All right, fine. That's what I'll... I have two really quick stories, okay?
Okay.
So I got there. Jeff is like... they're texting me like, where are they picking me up? And then it's like, yeah, I think he said like, we've got a story or something. And I was like, and I joked that it was a bear attack. And then Jeff.
Oh, they got there before you.
Yeah. They were there 2 days before me.
I see.
So, and I was just, I think a joke that there was a bear attack. And then Jeff was like, it's a doozy. And then they pulled up and Mike's arm is just in like this jerry-rigged splint. It's like, it was an ice pack, you know, like that like black athletic tape that the athletes kind of use to like, I don't know, it almost looks like a design or something.
Yeah.
So Mike was wearing an ice pack that was taped onto his wrist with a bunch of those things.
Okay.
We like ate sandwiches on this beautiful rock overlooking the ocean. We drank some beer. And I was like, Mike, do you want to like go to the hospital or the doctor or anything? He was like, no, like everyone I talked to said, if it was broken, I would know it. I was like, I think it's going to be fine. And the next morning he was like, it was still in a lot of pain. I was like, how's it feeling? He's like, it's real bad. And then this is my unsolicited advice. Whenever somebody says, if it's broken, you'd know it. Don't listen to them, because that's what I did with my heel when I broke it. Everyone was like, if you broke it, you'd know.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, they just don't know how tough Mike is. Like, he broke it. It was broken. And he rode, he got back on the bike that he fell off of.
Oh, yeah, wait. So how did it happen? You never told us that.
So, all right, this is what, yeah, I'm sorry. This is a terrible story. It's all out of order. All right. Before I got there, Mike and Jeff were riding e-bikes. They went like along this trail in that town, Girdwood. And Mike, who does not know how to ride a bike, he doesn't know how. He learned.
Like me?
Yeah, he's like you. So he's like learned to ride a bike late in life, like when he was in his 20s. So he can do it. I think you can get it going. You can ride a bike, but you would not trust yourself on an e-bike going 25 miles an hour, would you?
No, of course not.
As Mike should not have trusted himself on a bike. Maybe he's got a slightly better handle of it than you do, but he learned late. And so he's riding this e-bike with Jeff, and a bee flew into his face.
A bee? And a bug did this to him?
And he moved... I guess he moved his hand to like hit the bee or to swipe it away, and his bike went off the track and he flipped over the handlebars.
What? He flipped over the handlebar because he went to swat a bee.
And then he got back on the bike and rode 17 more miles and fell off the bike again.
Jesus.
During this ride, probably because he couldn't grip the fucking handlebar.
Because his wrist was broken.
Yeah. So, like, so the next morning I was like, let's just go to the ER. Like, our day that day was like driving to Denali, and we're going to go on this flight at like 4:30, but it was only a 3.5 hour drive. I'm like, we had time. We can just go to the ER. So we went to the ER and we were like trying to save time. We called ahead and we're like, hey, can we like make an appointment? And they're like, you're going to be fine. We walked there. No one. It was utterly empty.
Right, because
it's Alaska.
820 people live in Alaska.
And we walked in. They're like, hey, yeah, we called. My friend hurt his wrist. There's like four nurses. They just wave us right back in. We go directly into their office. They don't even make us wait behind the glass to give us our information. We're just in there. We're all hanging out.
Yeah.
We go into a room to wait for the doctor. We don't have to wait for the doctor. He comes in immediately. He starts like kind of pressing Mike's hand and turning the wrist around a bunch.
And he's like, this is exciting. Nobody's ever hurt themselves here.
It was weird because like there's not a lot of people, but it does seem like Alaska's a kind of a dangerous place.
More people live in D.C. than in Alaska.
And I guess everyone in Alaska, despite how dangerous it is, they just know how to handle themselves.
Yeah, because they're all in Alaska. They've seen some
shit. Yeah, they're Alaskans.
More people live in North and or South Dakota than in Alaska. It's 737,000 people in all of Alaska.
That's nuts. Yeah, that makes sense. It's so empty.
3.5 million in Connecticut. 1/5 of those people in a state 1/5 the size of America. That's how spread out it is.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's beautiful. All right, so the doctor is turning Mike's wrist around, and he's saying, "Does this hurt? Does this hurt?" And Mike keeps on saying no. And the doctor at one point goes, "Phew." So we're like, wow, all right, maybe we're good. And I start to feel stupid for even suggesting that we go to the ER. and then they take him through and they like wheel in this like kind of like new agey x-ray, like that he doesn't have to go to an x-ray room. It comes into the room. They're taking all these x-rays. Me and Jeff are like looking at them as they're showing up on the screen. And it looked good to us. And we're like, hey, it's going to be all right. And then the doctor leaves. We start like kind of like making plans for the day. And the doctor comes back and he's like, "Oh, I hate to ruin your vacation, but your wrist is broken. You need surgery."
Surgery?
It's broken so badly that he needs surgery.
Like right away?
Yes. It almost made us have to like literally go home.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But the doctor was like, the first thing he said is like, you shouldn't go to Denali. You have to see an orthopedic surgeon. But then that guy wasn't even going to be open for 2 days. So we were like, why don't we just go and then we'll come back?
Uh-huh.
And he said that that was fine. But they wrap Mike's arm in like this way more professional splint than just like the shit that we got from CVS. They gave him some pain medication. We went to Walgreens and bought a hoodie and cut off one of the sleeves.
That should do it. Who needs a surgery when you have a hoodie with a sleeve?
But yeah, he needs to get surgery. He's doing it probably ASAP now that he's back.
Jesus. And they have to like bolt his wrist bones together?
I think that's what they're going to have to do. I forget which bone it is, but like it's, if you look at the x-ray, the bone is separated pretty far from where it looks like it should be.
Which is weird because you and Jeff said it was fine.
Yeah.
Doctor, are you sure? I took a pretty cursory glance at the x-rays and couldn't see that big of a break. But
when they printed out the x, and those were on like iPhone size screens. When they printed it out, even I could see it. And I'm a real dumbass.
And I'm so hardly
like, if
a
I
doctor.
Can see how bad the break looks, it's not like a hairline fracture. It's a displaced fracture.
Jesus. I wonder if he just never went to the ER, never got an x-ray. Would the bones heal itself? No. He would have to eventually get surgery.
Yeah, I'm sure he would get home and Sarah would make him go to the ER.
So that's basically what happened to your foot. Now you need surgery too at one point.
Yes, precisely. So when you hurt yourself, don't think that you can hack it. I believe that people are tougher than other people think. When they say like, if you broke it, you'd know. Don't listen to that shit. If it hurts even a little, just go see. Why not?
Because it's a bummer of a vacation thing.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to spend part of their vacation in an ER.
But it actually was kind of interesting. Like, I felt like my trip to Alaska ended up being really well-rounded because of, like, all of the different people that we met. Like, we met the guides on the tours. But then we also like actually went into like the Anchorage ER and like we were like wandering around their hospital. So it's just a strange place to be. You don't ever expect that you'll go to the Anchorage emergency room.
That's right. It's like
we also went to the state fair. So it feels like we just like saw every little corner of that state.
Yeah, you saw how the city folk lived, how the rural folk lived, how the doctors lived. And then
we saw Denali.
And then Mike will sue the e-bike people, and then he'll have to hire an Alaskan lawyer.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to the trial in Alaska. all right, one last thing, real quick. The other place that I stayed that I want to mention is called Orca Island Cabins, and that was like all of the yurts on the coast in like near the Kenai Peninsula. In like there are all these like fjords basically in the lower part of Alaska.
Yeah.
And this place was like fucking magical. We just stayed in a yurt on the side of a cliff.
Wow.
Going into this amazing cove. We saw orcas swimming around in the cove.
Whale watching from your cabin.
Yeah. And then they also have like kayaks and paddle boards and stuff. And I did stand up paddle boarding. And there were so many jellyfish in the cove. I've never, basically all in all of coastal Alaska, I've never seen so many enormous fucking jellyfish.
Why would you do a stand-up paddleboard when you're surrounded by jellyfish? That seems like some sort of fear factor challenge.
It was. That's why I wanted to do it. Because I've never done stand-up paddleboarding, and I really wanted to. And then I was like, I'm not going to let these jellyfish fucking stop me. I just won't fall off. And it's hard to fall off a stand-up paddleboard. You like fall down.
It's not like surfing where you fall off all the time.
Right. It's not like so wobbly that you like can't. It's more like this thing is going to stay upright. It's not going to flip.
Got it. It's like just a boat. Like you're standing on a kayak of sorts.
Exactly. So like when I fell, I like could fall onto my knees.
I see.
I never fell in the water, but I did jump in a couple times because the water was so clear that I could see where the huge jellyfish were. So if I saw one that was like pretty deep down and a little far away, I was like, okay, so I see that one and there's nothing around my boat, so there's not one here, and I could jump in. And it was lovely.
Wasn't it freezing?
And I was also wearing a wetsuit. No, it was pretty warm.
Whoa. I just looked up Orcas Island, and did you know that Oprah bought an $8 million estate on Orcas Island?
And she called it Oprah's Island?
Oh, I guess there's one in Washington. That's the one she bought, unrelated to Alaska.
Interesting.
I just got excited because it was the same amount of price that the United States paid for Alaska is what Oprah paid for her estate on Washington's Orcas Island. Well, they're calling it Oprah's Folly.
That's crazy.
I guess she made a mistake, but she's convinced there's oil under this cabin.
I was also talking to people about buying property in Alaska. Not that I actually wanted to, but I always get curious about real estate, you know?
Yeah.
But they said only 1% of Alaska is privately owned.
Meaning the rest is what?
Owned by like government and like maybe like oil companies and stuff.
Oh, wow.
But like it's really hard to just straight up buy land in Alaska.
Yeah, but there's a bunch of really cool futuristic looking houses for like $430,000.
Where?
Anchorage.
Oh, well, that's not really Alaska. They say Alaska is 20 minutes outside of Anchorage.
Wow. You went to Alaska for 8 days and now you're looking down on Anchorage.
I would say Anchorage.
Anchorage is fucking Canada, all right? It's not Alaska.
Anchorage. I did go to a bar my last night in Anchorage, and it was pretty great, actually. You, me, and Marty would have fucking loved it.
People were getting turned up in downtown Anchorage.
They were getting. It was like an album release party for this Anchorage-based rapper. So he was doing like a bunch of his original songs and they were all really good. But then also kind of like in between sets, he was borderline just doing karaoke to like Drake songs. And so like Drake was playing, Drake was rapping, and this dude is just sort of also doing it. And it was great.
There are no rules in Alaska. Drake's not going to sue anyone.
It was this dude, Drake and Travis Scott all playing one show.
That's cool. All right, let's get to one last question before we have to get the FOH.
Okay.
This one's from a lady we'll call Oprah.
Very nice.
Hey, guys. Lately, I have been wanting some more female friends. I have about 3 friends, which do you guys find sad, by the way? Anyway, I work as a beauty therapist, so I do waxing for people, and a lot of my clients are girls around my age. A few of my clients who get Brazilian waxes, and I get along really well. I know the details about their personal life and vice versa, but we have never communicated outside of the client-therapist relationship. So my question is it weird to add one of these friends on Facebook and spark up a convo online? I know their first and last names and have even stalked a few on Insta and Facebook. The weird part is that I've seen their vagina up close and personal, and they are a client of mine. Or should I look for friends elsewhere? Thanks. Love, Oprah.
That is interesting.
Is it? Is this just Brazilian waxes, or the fact that she's a beauty therapist means there's therapy involved? Or is that just what she calls herself?
I would imagine it's like beauty therapist is more just like a cosmetic thing than actual therapy.
Got it. Yeah, yeah. So she waxes these ladies' vaginas and is like, is it weird to then go ahead and add them on Facebook?
I feel like you could add them on. I personally think it's always weird when people add me on Facebook. I just don't use Facebook, and I don't understand people that do.
Yeah, what if you just follow them on Instagram and see if they follow back?
Yeah, that seems like the more normal one. And then you can comment on their stuff, DM. I feel like that's a slower entry into hanging. And it has nothing to do with the fact that you've seen their vaginas, but I think that it's always a little... I mean, maybe they want to be friends with you, too. Have you thought about that? Then you could give them discounts on their Brazilians.
Oh, that's cool.
I would get a bajillion Brazilians.
A bajillion is when you wax Jillian's vagina.
Knock it off. That's my wife's name.
I'm serious. Oh, yeah. I mean, just anybody named Jillian.
Yeah. Yeah, anyone named Jillian.
I might get a Brazilian actually, tonight.
Cool it.
Well, I'm just having fun, man. I'm just getting a little wasted.
Yeah, well, I'm not. I know you're having fun.
In fact, why don't I sell you the IP for a CISO show that I'm developing?
Fine, I'm interested. If it's IP related, then I actually am interested.
All right, what would you do if you were her? Would you add on Insta, see if they follow back? That way it's not like forcing their hand. But if they follow back, then you can, you know, slide into their DMs. Make a few jokes about how you know what their vajay looks like. It's all fun. Mm-hmm.
This is an Insta play, if I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
It's Insta play, guys.
it's a little more passive than a Facebook ad.
Correct.
Nobody uses Facebook anymore anyway.
Correct.
All right, cool. That's it. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy. It's your Labor Day weekend, or at least the end of it. Mm-hmm. We'll be back, as always, next week. The opening theme song, once again, was written by Jamie Ashworth.
Righto.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers song.
Cool.
And then this closing one is a little more chill, but still a cover of Sound of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel.
Love that.
A Sound of Silence cover written by Coleman in Tampa. So thank you, Coleman. Thank you, Jamie. Thanks to you guys for listening. For more If I Were You, we release videos of it on our Patreon bonus Thursday videos at patreon.com/JA, so you can always get more there. And we'll see you in Alaska. Maybe we could do a live show in Juneau or something.
That's what's up. I would love to do that.
Did you go to Juneau?
I did not.
Nice. Yeah, you also broke your wrist, I see.
That's right.
In solidarity.
Mike did it.
All right, see you next week. Bye. Later.
Hello, Crandis, my old friend. I've come to seek advice again. Because my girl has been out cheating. And all this cheese that she's been seizing. And the pinch has won his 1,000th golden mic. That's so tight. On the If I Were You show. On countless threads I post my views. I wait a week for these coy Jews to berate me with their insults. And point out all my glaring faults. But the chipmunk, he makes everything go well. Amir Shmuel on the If I Were You show.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening. We'll see you at the show or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live and we'll see you there.
All right. Bye.